This is an extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. When it is labeled extemporaneous, that's exactly what is meant. Whatever thoughts come as we are recording is what you hear. The only preparation that was made for this recording is a concept that came to us that was very important, and that's the title. The title is Time Management, Key to Success. Everyone that is independent enough to be able to make their own decisions about how they use time are the object of this recording. One that is inclined to be very artistic may object to this approach. However, one must realize and appreciate that time does not wait for anyone, but it is passing with every moment. And it is up to each one of us on how we're going to use those moments, which throughout the day become almost an infinite number. Consider that at the beginning of any 24-hour period, and it's totally up to you on when you begin that, there is an opportunity to utilize 1,440 minutes. It is suggested that one consider a project value and also an estimated time that can be applied to the thought process in determining where to place it in that allocation available of 1,440 minutes. Obviously, some things within that time schedule can be moved, stretched, or condensed. Other things will be fixed. So one needs to determine on their own exactly what flexibility they have, and obviously focus on the discretionary ones, the discretionary vectors are an interesting concept that is suggested be used in our time schedule. A vector is basically a quantity with magnitude and direction. It's also suggested that one consider the biblical statement about the end is from the beginning, and the beginning is from the end. So the one tells us that we should start with the big picture. What do we want to accomplish? Which, of course, is the end. And therefore, all of the steps at the beginning need to build up to reach the end. And the other one that says the end is from the beginning means that if we start at the beginning and do not plan where we're going to go, but we just have an idea on impulse, then where we end up is not going to be defined until you arrive there, because you're going to be starting without a plan, but just an idea. Both of them have their place. One needs to look at the big picture in order to determine a realistic goal program. Are you totally satisfied with where you are right now? If so, there's no use doing any planning because you're not interested in changing. And there's no one that should be working out your salvation for you. That is your decision. It's not our decision. It's not someone else's decision that you know, a friend or a business associate or whatever. It's your decision to make on how you're going to utilize those 1,440 minutes. You want this to be the case because you don't want to give a concept of evil to have any foot in the door to try to point blame to someone else for your conclusion, your results, your future, or your present, or your past. It is highly recommended that if you do want to make a change because you have a feeling that there must be something that could be better than what you are experiencing in your life at this time. If that is the case, then you would want to do some research on those who have been very successful in the areas that you want to strive to become more masterful, more perfect. Because we can always learn from others who have attained the achievements where you would like to be. It's important for you to understand a proper, intelligent way to approach the term genius. It is the view of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute that absolutely anyone can become a genius. And if they are one already, then they can utilize certain tools to make sure they stay on that path and continue to improve their level of genius. Consider that out of 100 people, those who will have a plan or an idea of something they want to accomplish, out of 100, there are less than one that actually begin the plan, actually create a plan based on where they think they would like to be at some point in the future, and actually develop the plan and begin. Take the very first step and start it. It has been said by some very successful individuals that if you really want to accomplish something, you have to write it down. And if it's not written down, it's going to be extremely difficult to accomplish it. I'm excluding those who have the blessing of demonstrating a photographic memory. It's probably obvious to most people that the President of the United States and the wealthiest man in the world both enjoy the benefits of a photographic memory. So we're not addressing them. Although from a spiritual level, they probably will gain something from every prayer treatment out of the some 500 that we have on our website. Because we utilize something that only a very few people realize even exists. And that is what real substance is composed of. And that means the substance of everything. The substance of every thought, speech, and action. The substance of everything that we see. Everything we don't see. And that is spirit. It is the one thing that will enable one to have 100% control over everything about their experience. That is what gave Jesus total control. That is what gave Mary Baker Eddy control, as well as Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rawson, and Joel Goldsmith. three individuals who were exceptional Christian Scientists, who had 15-minute appointments and healed every single ailment that they were faced with from their patients through the application of understanding what real substance is. Another one that comes to thought is Bliss Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. He was under Mary Baker Eddy's tutelage from about the age of 7 on. That was explained in the prior prayer treatment, so it won't be covered here. So, what is the problem with time management? It sounds simple enough. What is the problem is exactly what Mary Baker Eddy has stated, and she says that we are barraged constantly with distractions. Evil works on deception, decoys, divide and conquer, creating untrue things about individuals to create distractions, to try to absorb one's time on unproductive activities, and it uses the 5 personal senses to its advantage so that most of the time we have no idea that we are being deceived, tricked, and are deceived by someone being used as a decoy or an event that's being used. We have some very important tools available for learning and progressing that were not available 100 years ago. These tools enable us to utilize all 5 of the senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste, to a much broader dimension and scope than what was available previously. But are we using them? We have a plan that is entitled Effective Healing. And there are 3 supplemental pages called Heal Everything. But keep in mind, less than 1 in 100 will actually embark on a plan, even though they think it's going to be worthwhile. They don't even get started. And how about the ones that do start? How many of those bring it to conclusion? Less than 1 out of 100. So we are looking at a decimal that is far less than 1 out of 100 that actually go through the whole process. And the ones that do are the ones that could legitimately be labeled as a true genius. You don't need to even be concerned if you were recognized as a young child that you appeared to be demonstrating in an outward, visible form activities that enabled you to be easily labeled as a genius. Because many people are labeled as a genius because of those very reasons, but they don't do anything with the talents that they appear to be conceived with. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. It doesn't even matter what you think of yourself. By itself, it is what is applied that makes the difference. And what is persevered with and the attitude and atmosphere that surrounds the application that makes the difference. It has truly been said, it doesn't matter so much what you are doing as how you do it. The how is recognized by everyone, if they're awake at all, and they will remember if it is done really with a true sense of love, caring, tenderness, gentleness, having great respect for everyone else that's involved, as opposed to the opposite. And then they'll remember that too, except it'll certainly be not with the positive tone that the correct attitude conveys to everyone, essentially everyone. Which do you want to do? Do you want to do it the right way? A common average way? Or the absolute wrong way? You are the only one that can make that decision, because it comes from within, and nobody can change what is really coming from within except you. It was stated that the problem with time management is that we are constantly dealing with temptations to get off of the schedule. Therefore, we cannot just rely on conventional mortal mind methods, but we must step up to a higher dimension. Mary Baker Eddy had those that were all around her, the entire church body of government, attacking her. She was led to put in the manual copies of deeds of trust, which proved what her desires were upon her demise. They basically said that the church organization would be self-expiring in terms of its control over any branch, and that it would only be permitted to remain as a local branch church, which was intended to just serve those who were living in the immediate area. And they devoted enormous effort to try to persuade her to change that plan. And since they were in the deeds of trust, they were taken out of the separation of church and state, and they were put directly into the judicial system if there should be anything come up in the future that would interfere. She probably knew this, and this is what happened, and that is that they obviously paid off the judges and said she couldn't have really meant what is in these deeds of trust. Therefore, we want you to just say that they are void and null, and that we can continue operating and managing the entire empire of the Christian Science movement, which of course had been worldwide in all the large cities and in basically every country and many small areas, villages, towns, and so forth. But while she was alive, they continuously tried to get her to change it. And she absolutely would not. She said, no, I was directed by God to have those provisions. As wise as she was, she probably realized that they would try to do what they did do after she passed on. Nothing slipped by her spectrum of wisdom, because she relied on the wisdom of mind, divine mind. So while she was alive, what did she do to make sure that she did not let those attacks be personalized within her own consciousness? This is exactly what she did. Every hour of the day, she devoted specific time for self-analysis, self-exam, to make sure that she was only reflecting out love, and that anything in the way of an attack that tried to have her as a target, that she would address it as being impersonal, without any credence or any power, because it did not come from God. Every hour, every waking hour of the day. And based on what she got done, I doubt if she slept more than somewhere between maybe 2 and 3 or 4 hours. And that's basically what most really successful people do. They sleep very little, because they're charged up all the time to be developing the ideas that are occupying their thought. And the really successful ones don't have their selves at the forefront of their thought, but it's at the end. The forefront of the thought is on the ideas that they're developing, the projects they're involved in, bringing them to fulfillment. So each one has to work out their own method, but it certainly is highly recommended that everyone study time management and become a master of it in a mechanical way, and then use spiritual means to make sure that you will stay on track. And by a mechanical way, the whole motive has to be spiritual, but what I'm saying is that you need to use tools that are available on a human level, and then apply them spiritually so that nothing can distract you, that you can be aware of decoys, and that you will implement the tools that will assist in not being distracted. The individual that was the police commissioner of New York City, along with the mayor, and both of you probably know their names, they became very well known because the city of New York was a pit of corruption. And they turned it around to eliminate the corruption and turned it from one of the worst crime areas in the U.S. to one of the least. And that was not an easy task. It had to take discipline. It had to take structure. It had to take a plan. It had to have monitoring. There had to be reporting by all levels. And the police commissioner said, if it's not written down, it will not get done. So he had a plan where the goals at every level were written down and had to be monitored and reported on a very systematic basis. And we have to do the same thing, except we're reporting to ourselves, hopefully to a higher level than the human, because we need to always keep in thought, what is the purpose of what I'm doing? Everything we do should have a purpose that is directed toward the end goal of whatever it is we're working on at the moment. It's so common when one ends the day or begins the next day to clean up all the little things, especially when they begin the day. And that is the biggest fallacy that you can be trapped into doing. And you could end up spending all day long cleaning up before you get ready to do the most important thing. So you must put aside the little things and immediately tackle the primary project that you're involved in for the particular time frame that you're dealing with. Time blocks is another thing that is very effective. If you're going to be working 18 hours, you say, okay, I'm taking this time block. maybe from when you begin for a period of whatever. And I'm not going to take any distractions, no phone calls, no visits from other people coming to my office, and whatever. I'm talking about a business atmosphere, an office atmosphere. And those are more rare now than they've ever been because of what was learned and a great blessing as a result of the pandemic, which of course was corruption from beginning to end. But that taught us that we can change from what the traditional system is. We can work from home ourselves. We can have others work from home. And with computer systems, we can monitor what's going on. Or, you know, each level of supervisory capacity can do that, and that's what they should be doing. Because there's ways to have the time to be tracked on a global scale and progress to be tracked. So that was not even thought of before the pandemic, where they mandated that you must be isolated. And the smart ones utilize that to their benefit. And as a result, we have tons and tons of office buildings that are empty. That's not bad, because it is a movement from less efficient to more efficient use of time. Travel used to be a big waste of time and expense. You have an extra, typically you would have an extra car, and you would have all of the expenses related to it. And it didn't matter how much you were earning, it's how much you have left over when all is said and done. Intelligence gives us tremendous opportunities to utilize it, and we're making a big mistake if we don't do it. We have to give credit to where it comes from, and we have to go there for guidance continuously. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing from divine intelligence or a personal bias? Is it a human thought or a divine? Are the holes in this series of logical steps that appear to be logical, are they really spiritually logical? It was previously noted that our senses should be viewed as spiritual, because spirit is the only real substance. Am I letting the spiritual senses guide me? And we have a detail on what those are on the website under 5 spiritual senses. So I won't review them here, but leave it up to you to look it up if you're interested. They're one of the most important things you can understand, because that's what guides you in identifying everything you do. That's what the spiritual senses are. It is identification, so that we can identify what we're really doing, what we should be doing, and tracking the results to make sure that we are on the right track and we don't waste or lose any more moments that could be saved. Because time travels. It does not stay stagnant. It is not a static concept. It is a dynamic concept. And if we're not on the moving object of time, so that we can have it be to our advantage, then we're making a very large mistake, because it's not possible to ever make up lost time. It's impossible, because it's only here at the moment. No, you can't work longer, you can't work harder, you can't work smarter to make up for it, because you could do that anyway. And you'd be working from a higher level, because you would have added all of the right activities to your base of understanding, as opposed to sinking down to a lower level and needing to work back up to where you were before. Yes, we definitely should be studying time management, and there are some good books on it, good recordings, and we should be reminding ourselves of what those key factors are, what the principles are. Many tools that anyone in Mary Baker Eddy's era did not have. She had the most important, obviously, and that's God. But still, the mechanical tools save a tremendous amount of time if we use them. If we know what they are, that they exist, and refine the way we use them. Everything you do, you have to make your own. You can't just pick up something that someone else did and repeat it like a parrot. You have to make it your own. Tailor it. Adapt it to the particular project. Whatever you have to do, it has to be something that you do over and over and over and not miss a beat. There will be enough reasons to miss a beat without letting it happen on a regular basis. Dynamic. You want to be in the dynamic, not in the static. Because static is retrogression. Because everything is moving forward. The earth is spinning on its own axis every 24 hours. That means that it's rotating at 1,041.67 miles per hour. Anyone that is static is automatically regressing. You have to be moving at least that speed to stay even. There's no time to waste any moments. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't rest. Even God rested on the seventh day, and the day is just a symbol. It means he rested when his work was done. Isaiah tells us something very important, and that is quoted at the beginning of chapter 14, which is the summary of chapters 1 through 13, so you know how important it is. And it says very clearly, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You don't need to try to accomplish a tremendous amount at any one time. You just build on step by step and don't go backwards. Regressing is a terrible thing, because you can never overcome it. Never. Holding course is by far superior to anything else when you're resting. There are particular Bible quotes that are very specifically suited for having in your thought when you begin to rest. If you want to improve your life, it's not going to happen automatically. It's going to happen as you follow the steps that will let it happen. We have to get in alignment with the laws of the universe. Then we have the power of those laws working in our favor instead of against us. It's working against us if we take ourselves out of the realm of the divine. If we're going to just surround ourselves with human activities, that's not going to cut it. I talked to somebody very recently, and they made a commitment to do something, and they didn't do it. And I said, why didn't you call? Why didn't you communicate? Oh, I was busy. Well, if you let yourself be busy with human entertainment, then that's up to you. But don't expect to get the results of having an effective schedule if you're going to get off the schedule. If you want to allocate time on your schedule for entertainment, fine. It's your salvation you're working out. It's not mine. No one else's. It's yours. Everyone has a responsibility to themselves to do what they themselves are satisfied with. And no one has the right to interfere with your own thinking. Because it's yours. Your future is based on how effective it is. And to what degree that you want to be effective is up to you. It's not up to me or anyone else. God doesn't deal with anyone on an individual basis. His work was done on day 6, as it states in Genesis chapter 1. And then he rested. There is such a wonderful, unlimited opportunity for anyone that wants to embark on the infinite progression pointing towards concrete being. And how you interpret it is entirely up to each one of us individually. This prayer treatment has been focused more on the synonymous term for mind than any others. So I shall close this recording by reciting to you a special prayer by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her most advanced class in 1898, 128 years ago, and it is entitled Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Mind. Mary Baker Eddy quotes from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206, as the introduction. The real Christian scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. We can declare often, Divine Mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these 7 names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. It is Saturday at 07:59, August 22, 2026. The topic of this prayer treatment, which has been extemporaneous, is one mind, time management, moments, key to success. This is the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, mbeinstitute.org. Thank you for listening. The end.